Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Here we go. Happy Monday, everybody. We are live from Sam's Number 3 Diner downtown, 15th and Curtis.
For the starting to get busy here.
Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. So we welcome you. Come on by. Let's jump into Four Down Territory. Nuggets get a important win as they bounce back from the loss against the Knicks. Well, they didn't play terribly. But they get the win in the back-to-back, staying in Brooklyn. They beat the Nets. Michael Malone admits he's still kind of trying to figure out what he's got on his bench.
I don't know. I guess if I don't know, that means yes, right? Probably was still in search mode. It's been hard because, you know, guys like Zeke have been in and out of the lineup with injury. It's been hard because that trade deadline and buyout market, you add Thomas and you add Reggie, and you have to give them an honest look. You know, it can't be just one or two games. So you have to give them an extended look to see what you have. You know, but now with 10 games to go, you know, we got to find a group and a rhythm and give them some opportunities to formulate that on-court chemistry moving forward.
Let's be honest. The reason why he's in search mode is because Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson have been huge disappointments.
Yeah.
Huge disappointments.
Yeah, they've got to figure out a rhythm. They've got to figure out a group and go in there. I'm not saying you got to go in there and build on the lead, but you can't just go in there and cough up a lead every time you go in, and then you can't really rest your starters. You can't really, like, the rotation is just bad. So they've got to come in there, and they've got to find a group that can, again, just not give it up. Right, just not give up the big leads. Just maintain the lead that the starters have built.
All right, so here's where the Nuggets are right now after a busy weekend. They are still first in the West. They have a four game lead over both Sacramento and Memphis. Three games ahead of both of them in the all important loss column.
Mm-hmm.
Both Sacramento and Memphis have a couple of birds in the bush. So the finale of the five game road trip coming up on Wednesday in D.C. against the Wizards. Next in Four Down.
Second down.
The Avalanche are the hottest team in the NHL. Five wins in a row after their 10th straight victory over those, well, not so hated Red Wings anymore.
Not so
what a
pesky
shot, oh, Nathan my. McKinnon.
Wow, is right.
Far side for his 30th goal of the season and his 60th even strength point.
You know, we use this term a lot, and it's a sports cliche. It gets probably used too often, but the idea of he has picked this team up and put them on his back.
Yes.
He's carrying this team.
Correct.
Nathan McKinnon is in beast mode right now. He is just like a man possessed. He's ready to carry this hockey team. And if not for Connor McDavid having the sublime season he's having, Nathan McKinnon arguably would be one of your top two or three Hart Trophy candidates for MVP. But he still should be in the top three or four candidates. He won't win, but that's how good he's been.
Was he the first star yesterday?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
I tell you what, with McKinnon playing the way he's playing, and then Gorgie playing really well between the pipes,
Carr's picking it up.
Yeah, it just feels like the Avalanche have essentially said, okay, we played around enough this season so far. Now it's time to kind of flex our proverbial muscles a little bit.
Yep. Honestly, it would not surprise me in the least if they ended up not only winning their division, but being the number one seed again in the West. Wouldn't surprise me.
They're starting to roll. And hey, listen, now, at this point, the way they're playing right now, anything they get out of Landeskog is bonus.
Yes.
Anything they get out of him is bonus.
Yep. Next in Four Down.
Third down.
Deion Sanders kicking off his first spring football practice. Literally, his players beginning with a blank slate.
If somebody gave you a double number in college, that assured that you weren't going to play. That's how it was, wasn't it? Now, it's like normal. And you got to earn stuff. Ain't nobody giving you nothing. We got kids, they played a snap, you know, and you want to be one? One? You know what number one meant back in the day for us? That you were that one. Like, come on. Like, it's just a new day. Single digits was something you had to be him.
You want a particular number? Gonna have to earn it. Otherwise, right now you do not have a number. You do not have a number until you earn it.
At what point did single digits become such a big thing? Why does everybody want a single digit?
Stands out. Because most single digits don't. Like, if you're a linebacker, nobody gets to wear a single digit. Let's go to quarterbacks. Let's go to kickers. Punters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's just something about the single digit stands out more in the world of 55s and 69s and everything. It stands out. These guys want single digit numbers.
Yeah,
and Deion's like, that's fine, but you're not going to be giving it.
I was thinking about this. Single digits went to the kicker. Punters usually had a low double digit number, like 11 or 16. Number nobody wanted.
Actually, single digits were very rare for a long time. Still kind of rare. But yeah. Now you got defensive ends wear number two.
I hate it. I hate
it. You hate it? Well, you hate it as a broadcaster.
I hate
it. That's all it is.
I do. I want standard. I want the standard O-lineman go in the, you know, 50s, 60s,
make
and
Mark's
70s.
Job easier.
D-lineman, you get the high 90s, right? You're good with that. Pass rushers, 99.
It's all about your comfort.
Yeah, it's about what's right.
It's about what's right.
It's like about, like, there's
no change. I don't like change. Change scares me.
Certain things. There's certain things that should just be a certain way.
All right. Next in Four Down.
One, two, three.
Fourth Down.
Congratulations to the city of Denver. Congratulations to Ball Arena. Congratulations to the great college basketball fans of Colorado, because you showed out this weekend as the games on Friday, four games on Friday, two games yesterday in the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. Huge successes. One of only two locations around all the first round and second round sites that had consistent sellouts, over 19,000 people jammed right from the start on the games on Friday. It's part of the reason why Denver was the only market to get two first and second round appearances in the 4 or 5 year window that they hand out. They'll be back here again in 2025,
right?
With the NCAA tournament. And the powers that be, I saw this over the weekend, the powers that be love Denver and would love to give Denver a Final Four. And we would have a Final Four, but we don't have the facility for it. You have to have a 50, 60,000 seat stadium that you can play basketball in. We don't have that right now. This is why I'm so in favor of building a brand new stadium, retractable roof. Don't worry, Bronco fans. You know, if it's snowing or whatever, we can still have the roof open. But to be able to close the roof and host these big-time events, because clearly NCAA loves Denver and would love to come here for a Final Four.
And Denver loves
if you build it, they will come.
NCAA loves Denver, and Denver loves the NCAA.
Yep.
Yeah, why? I mean, it's time. Let's do it. I know we still have, 10 years left on the lease?
Yep.
It's time to break ground.
Let's go. Get the shovels in the dirt. Let's do it.
That's why you have Big Pockets.
That's what Big Pockets
is. Big Pockets can finance that stadium.
Easily. Pay cash. Here you go. I own you. That'll do it for a Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. One of the busier, jam-packed sports weekends, most wide-ranging, diverse weekend that you'll ever see. But what was the best thing you saw this weekend? That's next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress, relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Bathfitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit bathfitter.com today.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Out on the road this morning at the Schlereth & Evans Breakfast Club as we are at Sam's Number 3 Diner. This one downtown, 15th and Curtis. Come on by. Get your Monday morning off to a great start. We'll feed you with a free breakfast burrito or order off their outstanding menu. You go months ordering something different every single day and still not repeat yourself. That's how vast, extensive, detailed, delicious this menu is at Sam's Number 3. So come on by, hang out with us. And what was the best thing you saw this weekend in a jam-packed sports weekend? You just start rattling through all the things that you saw, that you witnessed, that you experienced. What was the best thing you saw this weekend? Got this text. This one, it was in reaction. This is clearly a Michael Malone hater. All right, I know this guy. He does not like Michael Malone.
Sure.
He follows James Merrilet. No, it's not James, but it's...
He follows the James Merrilet doctrine?
Yes, exactly. Okay. The Merrilet doctrine.
Yeah.
Says it's just stupid to think you have to have a playoff roster. If one guy's not on, then you try someone else. Why would you ignore five guys on the bench? So we always talk about that when you get to the playoffs, you want to have a tight, like, say, eight, maybe nine-man rotation. And this guy's saying, why? Just something's not working? Plug somebody else
in? Throw another guy in.
So basically you're saying the chemistry doesn't matter, playing together doesn't matter, understanding one another's like tendencies, where they like to shoot from, and all those, that none of that stuff matters. It's just you just plug and play. One guy doesn't work, you just throw another guy in.
Well, but if
that's what the texter's saying.
That's what he's saying, but let me stand up for the texter. If continuity and chemistry and cohesion matter so much, then why isn't it working under this scenario?
Because they're still trying to figure out what that is. I mean, you added two pieces, two components to your roster at the trade deadline, and neither of those components, through whatever, whether it's injury or just not playing well, neither of those components have been what you thought you were going to get. So what you thought you were going to get, and you spent some time playing those guys and trying to figure it out, wasn't working. So what are you doing now? You started over, and you're trying to figure it out come playoff time. What's my best option? What's my best bench? How can I get quality minutes out of my bench? And I'm not saying that we have to extend leads, but we just can't cough leads up. We can't have a 20-point lead and turn it into 7 after 3.5 minutes, and our guys aren't even rested yet. We got to bring our starters back in. Like, they're trying to figure that out. Isn't that part of the coaching? And by the way, why do we have to do it? I don't know. I mean, it's been done by the Lakers and the Celtics and the Bulls and everybody else over the last 20 years or 30 years. It's the way that it works.
You're talking about the sixth man. They hand out a sixth man award every year.
But I'm saying the way the playoffs work, it's always been that way. So, the bottom...
Who is more scared of, I guess, the unpredictability, the uncertainty when you mix things up in the playoffs? Is it the coach or is it the players? That if you deviate from that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, come playoff time, you sit on the bench. It's expected you're going to come in at about this minute mark. And if you're a starter, it's expected you'll come out, you'll go back in at this minute mark. If all of a sudden you start changing that up and you're starting to play your gut and the hot hand type thing, or I can tell this guy doesn't have it tonight. If you as a coach start doing that, who's that going to impact more? The coach or the players?
Well, I think
are you messing with the players?
Yeah, I think it impacts the players. Players are such creatures of habit and routine, and you and roles. Like, you want to know. We talk about all the time. What is your role? What is the role of? And it doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. What's your role? When, like, you know, if you're a pinch hitter, you're back in the day. You're Edgar Martinez. You know. When you're rolling off the bench as a pinch hitter, like, you know how you get ready. At what point when you're an elite level closer, why put an elite level closer in the seventh inning when he hasn't pitched in 4 days, when it doesn't matter, and watch him yak up a lead?
Like, they don't like it.
Okay, but I can almost imagine this texter's response. I'll get it out before you even text it back in. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you're telling me these professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars are so mentally fragile that if you deviate from this this pattern, this role, one bit, they're going to get freaked out and they lose it mentally? Can you win with those guys anyway?
Yeah, it's not about, it's not being mentally fragile. It's being, this is the role that I have prepared for. This is what I have worked on. And it's not being mentally fragile. It's all of a sudden you're in a different role. Guess what? There's an adjustment period to that. And all of a sudden, you don't adjust well or it doesn't work out well. And what happens to you? Well, then you get pulled and the starters come back in and
That was like when did that last happen? That was like Brady on the sideline.
I know.
When he went for a high five, and nobody
gave me one.
I know.
You're not going to give me one.
No, you're going to have to take the L on this one.
Wow.
Somebody just came in and walked right by you, and you went to give the high five.
Yeah.
And you got totally ignored.
Yeah, completely.
I've never seen. The coolest kid in school just got ignored.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun to see.
Yeah. It was.
I've never seen that happen.
Me neither.
Mark Schlereth.
I just got totally stood up.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth.
That might be the first time that... Wow, we just got a big group came in. Look at these guys. All right. These guys mean business. Oh, man.
Yeah, you guys
are going to have to put some more burritos out because these guys are getting ready to
get
crush.
The burritos. There's going to be some Bloody Marys going down at this table. Let me tell you that right now.
Let's see. Best thing that I saw all weekend is from Nathan. Tennessee just outplaying and schooling Duke, and then all Duke fans claiming the ref bias.
Oh,
that was so rich and a great sports moment this weekend.
Yeah.
I saw it all over social media. Duke basketball is dead. Duke is dead.
Duke is dead.
Duke is dead. No more Coach K. The mystique is gone. Duke is dead.
And North Carolina didn't even make the tournament.
They didn't even make the tournament.
Some real blue bloods don't even make it.
Basketball blue bloods.
Do you like the fact that there's not...
No more like Roy Williams, no more Coach K.
But there's not the foregone conclusion anymore. Do you like the fact that there is not the like the blue blood program? Everybody's got five or six losses. Like, there is no... Like, this tournament is the best thing I saw all weekend is that I'm leading the fan pool.
You are leading the fan pool. Of all the fans...
Unbelievable.
Personalities, you are leading right now.
Yeah.
You must have put a lot of time and research and study into filling out your bracket, huh?
I filled my bracket out in less than 2 minutes during one of the segments we were doing. We were doing it live, and Johnny goes, hey, have you filled that bracket? And I was like, oh, shoot, no. It was, you know, the tip-off is at 10, and we're at 8:58, you know.
So you're filling out.
So I filled it out in the last segment, less than 2 minutes.
And you're leading right now.
And I'm leading right
after
now.
After two full rounds.
Well, you know, I did pick fairly scientifically. I took, like, Tom Izzo because I like Izzo. He's a I would consider him not a buddy, but he's an acquaintance, a friend.
Yeah.
So I took Sparty pretty deep. You know what I went with? I went with teams that had veteran leadership. Guys that have been
coaches
there, like
players.
Players. Guys that have been there for, like, the guys like Gonzaga. I know Gonzaga has a lot of guys that have been there for a long time. Timmy came back instead of going to the NBA. Like, guys.
It's the only guy you can name.
Of course it's the only guy I can name.
Right.
Drew Timmy.
Right.
Yeah.
The only guy you can name.
I can't name anybody. No. I know who.
Oh, I like Gonzaga's veteran leadership. They got a lot of guys back. Name more than one. Can't do it.
Can't do it. No. But I know how the team worry. The same reason I took Sparty. Sparty always has a bunch of guys to stay for.
Oh, of course. Right.
For the duration. Come on, man.
Well, after watching the first two rounds, I would say, what, eight? I saw eight teams that could cut down the nets when it's all said and done. Eight? At least? Eight teams?
Oh, yeah.
Easily. There's not like one team that you'd say for sure.
No, no, absolutely not.
No.
See what Arkansas did?
Arkansas looks good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sleep on them. UConn looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't sleep on them. Coming up, what is trending? And history was made in this sport by a Colorado athlete over the weekend. And it was awesome. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, over the weekend, the NCAA Wrestling Championships took place, and a Colorado wrestler made history.
Andrew Olirez, an All-American for the first time this year, and Greeley's native son gives Northern Colorado its first national champion since 1962.
How about that?
Wow.
UNC, this guy, local kid, could have gone anywhere to wrestle, could have gone to one of the powerhouse programs. Instead, he stayed home. He went to UNC, and Andrew Olirez wins the first NCAA National Championship Wrestling, 141 pounds since 1962.
Wow. When was the last time you weighed 141 pounds?
Oh, geez. Eighth grade?
How much do you think your head weighs?
Of that, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, probably a good solid, what do you think, 25 pounds?
You, when we signed on to do soda, did you put that into consideration when they said, well, we'd like you to get down to a certain weight? You go, well, you have to understand that my head is a huge part of my, you know, overall body weight.
I told him. I said, what you want me to do, I'll try it. I could probably do it. Right. You understand, I'll have to walk around the rest of my life with a neck brace.
Yeah.
Just to guard against that thing lolling back and forth.
Right. Yeah, there's that, this is a really, like, if they can get you right, soda, unbelievable.
I want you to go back and look at his match and tell me his signature move.
Okay. Right?
Can you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
I want you to do that for me. Next in What's Trending. You know, it's this time of year. They don't always get a lot of attention. But this is the time of year they shine. DU men's hockey.
Oh,
the
yeah.
best, most reliable, year in and year out dominant program in all of Denver sports.
Oh, yeah. DU hockey, they're a powerhouse. They're always there at the end.
Yep. And they are yet again another number one seed for them. They will be the number one seed in the East or Manchester, New Hampshire region coming up this weekend.
That seems kind of geographically undesirable. The DU has to go to Manchester?
Yeah, well, they've been there before.
Well, no, I mean, but like, why do they have to go to
you know, like Boston or Providence or something like that? If you're going to be back east, why you got to go to Manchester?
Well, why do you have to go back east? Why can't they do?
Well, of the four number ones, they're the fourth number one.
What's the more western? Is there a? Just doesn't seem fair. It's a lot more travel.
Well, they are not the number one or number two number one, so they don't get the geographical pick.
Yeah, well, I mean, is the number one playing in the West somewhere?
Oh, jeez. All right,
I don't like the way they're doing it.
I'm quite confident when it's all said and done, they'll be in the Frozen Four again.
Okay, where's the Frozen Four at?
Do not know!
Damn it, Mike.
I will get deeper into it, but Johnny, look that up for me. All right, Mark. Just anyway, next in What's Trending. So Byron Murphy left the Cardinals to sign with Minnesota. You talk about airing laundry, dirty laundry, Draymond Jones style,
right?
So here's why nobody wants to go to Arizona. Here's why Sean Payton did his interview with the Cardinals and then immediately took to Twitter talking about how great Broncos ownership was. Apparently, the Cardinals charge their players for their food. Like, they'll prepare a box lunch for you.
Right.
Free of charge. But anything else you got to pay for, it's deducted from your paycheck.
Yes. Yeah. So what ends up happening? They have a kitchen. So if you say lunch, they're not charging you for lunch, but you say, hey, man, can you make me a box to go? I want to take a box home, like a box lunch home for dinner. Like, you're a single guy. They charge you for that.
Yeah. Does everybody do that, or is that just a cheap Cardinal thing?
I think that's mostly just a cheap Cardinal.
Like, okay, that was my point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, can you make me a sandwich to go? Yep. We'll deduct that from your check.
Wow.
Like the Bengals back in the day used to charge you for socks. Like, they give you like two pair of socks, but you wear out a pair of socks. You know, you practice them and everything else, and they go in your little, you know,
they give you a little bag, laundry bag, right? You throw it in there. You throw all your stuff in there. You go, hey, man, I need new socks. These ones are like lost the elasticity. They charge you $2.50 for a pair of socks or Gatorade. You had to buy your Gatorades back in. Like, there's some organizations that have the gate, and you got to put 50 cents in.
So
back in my day.
So, but during your time with Pat Bowlen, there was never an issue like that kind of stuff.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely not.
What do you guys need to win?
Right.
I'll take care of it. And you went to Mike Shanahan and said, you got to start
serving breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys need to be fed.
We had a guy from Cincinnati come when I played in Washington and was like, we flew across country to play like in L.A. And he was blown away. What do you mean we're in L.A.? He goes, oh, when we flew across country to L.A. from Cincinnati, we stopped in Nebraska to refuel.
I'm not kidding
you. It's like Major League back in the day.
You know, there is a reason why some teams win and some organizations, no matter how high they draft every single year, they just don't get it. And they will always be perennial losers. Step right forward. The Arizona Cardinals. That is what is a trending. We do that with you each and every morning at 7:30. We've got the Denver Sports front page coming up at 8 o'clock. We are live from Sam's Number 3 for the Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. Come on by. Get yourself a hot breakfast, free breakfast burrito. Hang out. Mark will sign any kind of Bronco memorabilia you have. I'll sign a napkin if you'd like. It's a good time. All here at Sam's Number 3 next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Here live at Sam's Number 3, the Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. Look at all the food going to this table here.
I know it.
What do we got? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 guys who are just ready to demolish some food. Look at all that food.
I'm telling you what. If you had a guess, what are those guys? What kind of work do those guys do?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
That guy looks like a lumberjack.
Yeah, look like lumberjacks, dock workers,
lumberjack.
No docks around here though. That's a rough crew.
That's right. That's
a tough looking crew.
Those guys,
a man's men right there.
That's right.
Very manly dudes eating. Look at the size of that burrito. Holy smokes!
I know it. Okay. When you eat a burrito like that, you got to carry a plunger with you. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. As one texter said earlier, we don't want to hear about Mark's disgusting bathroom habits.
It's not disgusting. I'm just looking out for the next guy.
It's time to go.
You how's that burrito?
Man, that might be the biggest burrito I've ever seen.
It is huge.
All right, we are live at Sam's Number 3. Come on by. We'll get you a breakfast burrito if you'd like. Not as big as that one, but you can order off the menu as well. But we do have free breakfast burritos for you. Downtown, Sam's Number 3, Downtown Diner 15th, and Curtis. Asking you on a crazy busy weekend, what was the best thing you saw this weekend? All kinds of stuff happening over the weekend. We'll get to some of the texts here in a moment. But I want to go back to the Draymond Jones comments that he made to our friends Brock and Salk in Seattle when they had him on, fresh off signing his 3-year deal to go join the Seahawks. And he was asked about his time here with the Broncos. Fever, I think you got that for us. And he was less than complimentary about what happened here last year.
Keep it short. I mean, it was a lot more hectic than any of us probably wanted to be. I should really just say for myself, it's probably more hectic than what I like it to be. There's too much going on. It's a lot of drama, unnecessary. Football didn't seem, as important as it needed to be at one point. And that sucks because I was coming from a place that I really grew to appreciate.
A lot of unnecessary drama. Football didn't matter enough. I know that there's been tons of reporting, articles, conversation about what went wrong last year. Fine, I get it. But for you, because I know for me, there's a sense of, okay, all right, it was bad here last year. You're not telling me anything I don't know, but I guess I'm not freaked out by it because that is truly in the past, right? I mean, Sean Payton is here. A veteran coaching staff is here. I 100% expect it to be different, the culture to be different,
right.
The attitude to be different, the demands to be different. So, to me, all the issues really don't matter other than just reliving the past or living in the past. Or yeah. Is there any concern, no. Is there any concern with you at all that there is still, I guess, some rot that has taken hold that's going to be tough to get rid of?
Well, only if you didn't have an adult as a coach, if you had another first-year coach that would, you know, acquiesce to the quarterback and the quarterback's demands or the quarterback's people, or, like, then I would, there would be more concern. But there is an adult that's in charge of the organization. There's an adult that's coaching this team and that has done that before, and a guy that I know that's in charge. So, like, my level of concern, you know, on the Concerno meter is way down, Mike. There's really zero, you know, other than you've got to be better and Russell's got to be better than he was and all that stuff. But as far as the culture of this organization and developing a great culture, where my concern has been high over the last several years, it's way low. I mean, it's just way low because, again, you got a coach that really that understands how to build a culture, how to build a football team.
Because I hear Draymond Jones, and I read these articles, The Athletic, and how dysfunctional it was, and right. All the on-the-record, off-the-record people that were speaking of it, and I'm not trying to just breeze past it. It was a mess here last year, mm-hmm. But you had a coach and a coaching staff that was overmatched and in over their heads, and you had a quarterback that was given too much power.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to identify problems and fix. Fixed. Done. So,
right. Draymond doesn't know. He didn't know Sean Payton from Adam. Like, he didn't know that. All you can go on if you're Draymond or you're anybody else who's been in this organization that has left is what's gone on here in the past.
But are we guilty? And I'm not saying we, but I know there are other people on our station who relentlessly love to point out what went wrong last year and love to play the blame game and mm-hmm. Point the finger. And I guess at what point do they need to get over it and understand that it truly, what's in the past is in the past. This has no relevance as to what we're going to see moving forward. It's a completely new atmosphere, new ship there, right?
Yeah.
So whenever we see these comments about last year, or you read an article, or, boy, this is how bad it was, what should be the Bronco fans' response to all that?
Yeah, I think...
Should we even talk about it? Ignore it?
No, I mean, I definitely think, hey, listen, you still have to get buy-in. You still have to get players to do those things. And there is going to be, you know, there is going to be some, you know, tightening of the screws, if you will, and especially with the quarterback. Like, there are going to be some things that, frankly, need to be taken away. But you know, my sense is this. My sense is the quarterback played so poorly last year that he needs, like, you need a reboot. And you need to be okay with that reboot. You need to say, hey, man, I need to be coached. Because obviously what went down, I was trending as a surefire, first ballot, no question asked, Hall of Fame. And last year brought in all that stuff into question. All that, you know, all the 9 years or 10 years of great play and goodwill that I created kind of dissipated. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of critics out there, and like rightfully so. So I mean, to me, it's like what has transpired and the direction this organization, the ownership group, has gone in. I think it was huge.
Can it change overnight?
Oh, absolutely.
Overnight, absolutely. Like just what all the dysfunction and football didn't matter and unnecessary drama. Rather than because I don't want to dwell on it. To me, it is in the past. Leave it in the past. As long as you're confident that it can change overnight.
Yeah.
Because I've made the comment many times that when Peyton Manning came here, the culture changed overnight.
Correct.
But keep in mind, it changed overnight from a team that the previous year did go 8-8, was 8-5 at one point,
right.
Did go 8-8, did win a playoff game, and, you know, had a lot of the pieces, a lot of the framework was in place already when Peyton came aboard. So is this situation that this team was in last year and what they've been in for the last couple of years, is that as potentially solid of a foundation to inherit and then flip overnight? See the difference?
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
There is a difference there. But I do think this. I think that you put in a coach that is going to be demanding, that understands how it does and has the respect. Like, has the respect of players based upon what he has done and, you know, the success that he has created with an organization. Let's face it. Like, the New Orleans Saints was a perennial, they were a perennial dog for decades until Sean Payton took over in 2006. And then all they did is proceed to win 11, 12 games a year, pretty much every year. They had a stretch in the middle there where they were in salary cap purgatory, where they went 7-9 3 years in a row. But they just continued to put up double-digit wins every single year. And he established a program, and frankly, I think that's what he's doing now. Establishing a program, and he'll get buy-in from his players because he's done it. He's been there. He's created it. And I think there's an overnight change in attitude, and this is a group of players that is going to learn what it is to actually participate in a NFL program.
DenverSports.com front page coming up here in a second. Throughout the question of everything that went on this weekend, it was a crazy busy sports weekend. A lot of good stuff. What was the stuff, best thing you saw this weekend? This text says, best part of the weekend, boys, anytime the Az beat up on the Red Wings, it's always on top of the list. 11 straight wins against Detroit, the most against any team in franchise history, all time, head-to-head now. Even it was beautiful. Although that Trey Turner grand slam bomb was pretty sick. Yeah, talking about, let's start at the back there, the baseball. I know there's been a lot of scrutiny about this World Baseball Classic, yeah, and whether or not it's worth it with some of the guys that got hurt.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm seeing excitement and passion from the players.
Right.
From the players.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the fans. And by the way, the fans have been into it. Electric atmospheres all around this tournament. But the players are into it in a way that, like, a lot of times whenever you see our athletes, our pros, play in the Olympics, there's sort of a, not going through the motions, but you can tell it's kind of almost like a brand building type thing. You, yeah, wonder how much does it really matter putting on the red, white, and blue. I'm watching these baseball guys
mm-hmm,
are into it, showing a level of intensity that sometimes you don't even see in the playoffs.
I think it's
been great.
I think it is too, and I think one of the cool things about it is there's such a approach to spring training that is yawn fest, right? And you come in, you get your two innings of work done, they send you home, and then they let a bunch of 4A and double A and single A players play, right? And so I think there's an attitude of ho-hum when it comes to spring training. I got to get my work done, but I'm not really happy about doing it. This is real competitive, real baseball.
Yeah.
And there's an excitement to it, so it's fun.
Well, I think what helps our guys is that these other countries are so serious about it.
Oh, yeah, like,
I've seen interviews with some of the Venezuelan players, Dominican players. They seem honest when they say winning this would be more impactful than winning the World Series.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the pride
for
that
their country, yeah.
The country,
oh, yeah,
they take it seriously. And it seems like our guys have really picked up on that, and they've felt that intensity. They've, right, matched it, and now they're poised to win the whole thing. And as far as the Avs are concerned, I've always heard people say it never gets old beating the Red Wings. Has it gotten kind of old? I mean, does it really feel the same? Well, it does, because there used to be such a huge rivalry, and since they, what was the realignment?
Yeah, since they moved, it's just, no.
It's just not the same.
It's just another game. It really is.
Plus, Detroit was bad for a long time. Are they still bad? Where are they right now?
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't have the same juice, man. It, like, there's, I get that you have that kind of, you're stuck in that cloud of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Back in the day. You know, back when they really, truly hated
never
each
seen
other.
Anything like it.
Yeah.
It was the best rivalry in sports at the time.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. But it's not the same.
No.
I mean, it's still cool. It's always
is
cool
it, to
me.
I don't know. It's just another game now. I honestly, beating Detroit is no different than, I don't know. I mean, beating the Rangers or,
right.
You know, somebody like that. It's just a.
I get it.
It's not the same. Once they moved out of the conference, it just stopped being the same.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.